on this brand new podcast about living and learning to thrive with obsessive compulsive disorder. And maybe like you or someone you know, I am so OCD. I started this podcast for a couple of reasons. The first is that I love podcasts, like pretty much everybody else in the world. I was a bit late jumping on that train, but now I listen to them every day. And I love them for the same reason that I love books: storytelling. There's nothing like a good story to make us feel less alone in the world, less misunderstood. The second reason I started this podcast is because I'm also an author, and I wanted a different way of being able to connect with my audience, which is admittedly small, but still really important to me. And some of the things that I have written about that have gotten the most feedback, positive feedback, I think I would say, on my Instagram or on my blog, has been where I've shared stories about my own struggle and some of the ways that I have. I have two young adult novels and one nonfiction book that's forthcoming titled Good Enough: Learning to Let Go of Perfect for the Sake of Holy. In Good Enough, I dive much deeper into some of what you're going to hear on this show, and I'm really looking forward to the day that it's on bookshelves. But until then, the podcast is going to have to do. So I'm really glad you guys are here with me today. One final note, and then we'll jump in. I want to clarify up front that this is not a medical podcast, nor am I a medical or mental health professional. I'm just a woman living with OCD who wants to talk more about it and maybe connect with people who have OCD in hopes that you'll listen and either learn something new from my experience or feel like you have someone to connect with on your own mental health journey. All right, cool? Here we go. So what is OCD? Well, there are many different types of obsessive compulsive disorder, and they manifest in a multitude of ways. But here's a basic definition to get us started from the National Institute for Mental Health. They define obsessive compulsive disorder as a common, chronic, and long-lasting disorder in which a person has uncontrollable reoccurring thoughts or obsessions and behaviors or compulsions that he or she feels the urge to repeat over and over. This is all true, but the reality of living with OCD is quite a bit messier and a lot more painful. I decided to call this podcast So OCD because even though we as a culture are growing both familiar with mental health issues and what has historically been our own lack of care, we still use language that can feel diminishing to people who actually live with this stuff. I recognize that I can't hold anyone accountable for what they don't know. And if you've never known anyone with OCD or struggled with it yourself or studied it, then of course you're not going to think anything about using the phrase "I'm so OCD" to describe your intense affection for organized closets. But if you're listening now, let me be perhaps the first to tell you. No, Betty, your love of cleanliness does not make you obsessive compulsive. So please stop saying that. I have had OCD my entire life. But while for some people it can be debilitating from day one, I always just thought I am a worrier. I have a hard time letting go of certain things. I hate conflict. I've never really stressed a lot about work or schedules or even if I get sick. But if I have conflict with someone I love, I will obsessively ruminate over every detail of every conversation that we've had, and I'll try to extract as much meaning as I can until I've either consoled myself that everything's fine or pushed myself to confront that person so it could be resolved. A lot of times, there's not even any conflict. I just really have a big imagination. It's part of what makes me a great writer. It's also part of what feeds my OCD. But once everything is resolved, or once I've kind of worked it out in my own head, then I'm totally fine. So it doesn't actually take over my whole life the way that it does for a lot of different people who live with OCD. So I think some of this behavior can be contributed to the fact that I'm a dominant type 1 on the Enneagram, if you know anything about that. I'll talk some more about it another time, but type 1s are also called perfectionists or moralists. I joke that I finally realized I was a 1 and not a 9 when I came up with my most recent book title, because if there's ever been a title that encompasses a type 1, Good Enough: Learning to Let Go of Perfect for the Sake of Holy is it. It wasn't until my 20s that I finally realized that what I had was OCD, because it wasn't until my 20s that I actually started dealing with intrusive thoughts. So that's what I have. That's the type that I have, intrusive thought OCD. If you don't know what those are, intrusive thoughts are sudden and disturbing thoughts that can be religious, sexual, or violent in nature. And everybody has them, but they're different for people with OCD. So think about a time when you stood on top of a building or visited the Grand Canyon and suddenly had the thought or urge to jump or even push someone next to you over the edge. For the general population, they think, huh, that was weird, and move on with their day. But for a person with OCD, that thought gets internalized and becomes something that we obsess about because we think somehow it means something deeper about us, about our character, who we are, until eventually it creates so much anxiety that we will develop what's known as a compulsion to help alleviate it. Common compulsions people think of, and I think that have probably been represented on television shows, are, you know, say someone wants to wash their hands 100 times a day because they're worried that if they don't, everyone in their house will, I don't know, get in a car accident that day. It probably sounds pretty silly, but it's actually really dangerous. The truth is that doing compulsions is helpful in the short term to make us feel better because it gets rid of our anxiety in that moment, but it actually only serves to hurt us in the long term because the more that we do those compulsions, the stronger the so-called risk becomes in our brains. Maybe you've heard this before, but our brains are not fixed or unchangeable the way that we used to think that they were. They're plastic. We can shape them. We can heal them in many ways, and by doing so, heal our bodies. When I have a thought, it creates an actual tangible connection between neurons in my brain. And the more I think the thought, the stronger the connection gets until at some point it just becomes automatic. So when something triggers an intrusive thought and I obsess over it, either why it happened and what it means, I'm actually convincing my brain that it's a threat when in reality it's not. And because I obsess over it, I make the thought happen more and more and more until it's just constant. I listened to a podcast once where a woman with OCD had to spend about 45 minutes every night walking in a certain pattern on her bedroom rug before she could sleep. If she didn't, she was afraid everyone in her house would die during the night. And if she messed up the pattern, she'd have to start all over. This was just one of many compulsions that she acted out each day, and as you can imagine, they severely inhibited her ability to live a normal life or interact with people. She was always thinking about the compulsions that she needed to do, and when you're in a place where you're surrounded by people or you can't get away to act out your compulsion, the anxiety and stress in your body builds until it feels like you're going to explode. I've had times where I'm talking with someone and an intrusive thought is triggered, so I just want to run to the bedroom for some solace so I can retrace the conversation and make sure I didn't actually act out my terrible thought. And it might be that I think of like hurting that person, or I think of saying something that's really mean, and even though I don't mean those things, they just pop into my head. So it can be really, really difficult because I might be smiling at you, but inside I'm in complete turmoil. I don't want to forget the details of our conversation because then I might not be able to remember all that we said or what happened. And what if that means I hurt you and I just can't remember it? I'll know even in that moment that it's not true, that we're just talking and everything is fine, but my brain will be on fire and screaming at me otherwise. The worst season of my OCD came when my daughter was born in 2013. I had already been dealing with it more that year than any other time, but when she was born, it escalated faster and further because suddenly here I was, responsible for and so deeply in love with this tiny, very vulnerable human. I refused to even be alone in the same room with her for 5 minutes. I was totally fine as long as other people were around, but isolation was my trigger. And it had been my trigger for my intrusive thoughts even before she was born. So as soon as I was by myself with her, I would panic and do whatever I could to get away or take her with me to a place where we could be with other people. I was so scared I would hurt her accidentally or even on purpose. And for a long time, Pierce was the only person that I would talk to about this. It's still really hard to admit some of these things because while there are many stories of OCD that have been shared and a lot of really great books, it's still not talked about enough. I couldn't give Lucy a bath alone because I would picture myself drowning her like the postpartum women I read about in the news. I didn't want to change her diaper because I was scared I'd accidentally touch her inappropriately while wiping her bottom. Pierce was completely unfazed by any of this. God bless his sweet soul. He was concerned for me, of course, because he hated to see me in so much pain, but he was absolutely certain of the truth that I was a good and loving mother that God had trusted to raise our sweet baby. And that got me through a lot of really dark moments. It was also during this time that I started to see a holistic licensed counselor who said that not only were my thoughts totally normal and things that she had heard from OCD sufferers many times before, but they were also indicators that I was a good person. The very fact that they bothered me to the point of panic attacks meant that I actually had nothing to fear. And this is something that a lot of counselors will and should tell OCD sufferers. You really don't have anything to worry about. And the fact that it scares you, the fact that these things really bring up all this anxiety and pain in you is a good thing, because they should. I cannot tell you what a relief it was to hear that from a professional. And she also told me something else I will never forget. She said, "Wendy, it's not your thoughts that are the problem. It's what you think about the thoughts." The truth is, our brains are receiving input every moment, and we do so much all the time, completely unconsciously, just like breathing. We cannot be in perpetual control over every single thought we think. Trying to is both a waste of time and impossible, and it's also punishing yourself and your brain for noticing the world around you. The world can definitely be a scary place, and when I finally realized I could guard my mind against receiving input that would harm me, such as watching a violent movie or reading upsetting news articles, it helped me learn to protect myself. But I couldn't avoid my daughter, and I didn't want to. And when I thought about missing out on her life in order to preserve, or what I thought would preserve, my sanity by giving me, you know, an opportunity to do my compulsions, it pushed me further into guilt and shame and sadness. I didn't want to miss a single second of her life. As I'm recording this, our daughter Lucy is outside my window, jumping on her trampoline, singing to herself. By the way, a trampoline is the best Christmas present ever for a five-year-old. If you need your kid to get some energy out and also get some work done, if you're a work-from-home mother or parent, trampolines are the way to go. But we're home alone, just like we are every day. And for the last 4 years, I've been some version of a work-from-home mother who spends every morning and afternoon being the primary caretaker for her kid. I remember sitting in my therapist's office learning about the best treatment for OCD, which is called cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, and thinking, I will never be able to do this. I want to, but how? How can this possibly get better? For me, thanks to talk therapy, CBT, a strong support system and faith community, medicine, and the endless grace of God, it has. Like so many other illnesses, OCD doesn't have a one-size-fits-all solution, and it looks different for every person. A lot of our compulsions are invisible, things that you can't really see, so it's kind of one of those things where you can hide it really well, and people might think that you're okay, but you're not. From what I've experienced and seen, CBT is the best option because it requires a person to slowly confront their triggers until the brain has been retrained into thinking they aren't a threat anymore. But it is a very slow process, and it takes a lot of patience and consistency. Medicine helps in the meantime to control the panic and obsession, and I've been on it before, but CBT is what actually changes the brain. In my case, I can't actually be on medicine right now because I'm pregnant with our second child, a little boy. And CBT works better because it means I force myself to acknowledge my intrusive thoughts as simply random things that are completely unrelated to my character, and also refusing to act on my compulsions, like I did with Lucy when I would pick her up and follow Pierce from room to room around our house. I do still struggle to be alone, by myself or with Lucy, if Pierce goes out of town or something, because isolation is what triggers my thoughts. And spending days and nights alone is not something I've practiced, so my brain hasn't quite learned. There's no risk there. But otherwise, I'm mostly living a life I wanted 5 years ago but really didn't think was possible. I want you to know that it can get better. With help, it does get better. And I hope that when you join me here on this podcast, even if our experiences and beliefs are completely different, you'll start to feel some of that for yourself if you haven't already. Some of the most freeing moments for me during the early days of treatment were talking to other people, people I knew and loved, who said, "Oh man, I've been there too." I'm cheering you on, and I'm so glad that you took time out of your busy schedule to listen to this podcast. Thank you so much, and I hope that you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe, and if you'd like, post a review on iTunes. This helps other listeners find the show and tune in themselves. You can also keep up with the show by visiting SoOCDPodcast.com. That's 4 O's, SOOOOCDPodcast.com. And by following the show on Instagram at SoOCDPodcast. Have a good one, and thanks again for being here for the very first episode of So OCD.